Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome everyone to the first official show of Balanced Boss Radio, the place where you come to figure out how to fuel, activate, and align your body in order to elevate your performance and find your next level. And I'm so excited today. We have a very special guest. A dear friend of mine and awesome coach is Shannon Werner. So Shannon started her journey a few years ago where she really found out exactly what it means to help fuel her body in many different lengths. So today we're going to get into all those details about her story and how she has translated that into her transformational nutrition coach business that she has now, and how much of an impact she's making with that. So in order to just get started and I will first let you all know a little fun housekeeping business. If you want to call in with any questions at any time during the show, write this number down now. It's 646-716-7979. Call in anytime. We would love to have your questions. And so we'll see you there. And now to get started, Shannon, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about your story and how you got started on your own transformation.
Awesome. First, I want to say thank you, Jessica, for inviting me. It's such an honor, and I'll try not to get too emotional here, but Jessica is one of my good friends, and I feel super honored to be here today and to share my story. First, I want to tell just a little bit, and it'll be as brief as possible, kind of about who I am and where I see things kind of starting. So just overall, about 5 years ago, I went through a pretty significant health crash to the point where I couldn't even work. So we'll start with that. But backing up before that, up until year 30 of my life, I was very driven, perfectionist, type A. I wanted everything to be right and perfect. I strived to be the best at everything that I did, always to get the best grades, to be valedictorian, to be at the top of my class, to always please everyone and make people proud of me. And as such, as you can imagine, I've always been very hard on myself. Like that inner critic has always been, you know, you always have to work harder and harder and be more. And so around the time that I got sick, I had just finished my PhD in biochemistry at UCSD, and I moved up to the Bay Area to do a postdoctoral research. And to be quite honest, I was really unhappy in all areas of my life. And I traveled down to Mexico for a friend's 30th birthday party, and I came back with a really awful GI bug. And meanwhile, about a month later, I was about to move home to Boston to start a new job. And so this is really challenging, right? I came home and I was really sick. And up until that point, I didn't really think twice about what I put in my body. I ate whatever I wanted. I had cereal for dinner. Basically, all the food I ate was of the tan color. I did not eat many vegetables, right? I was a grad student. I was on the go. I was doing endurance sports, a triathlon. I was competing in half Ironman and Ironman distance events all throughout my graduate school career. And I was always super stressed out. So one of the things that I can remember back then is just being so high strung all the time. And so there's a lot of things that kind of set me up for this health crash. And so when I went to Mexico, I got really sick with this bug. And I didn't know what to do. Went to the doctors. No one could really figure out what was going on. And I did end up moving to Boston all the way across the country to start my first job as a scientist out of school. And I thought I should be happy, right? Like I'm finally making it.
Managing those emotions of all the work that you've put in to get to that point, and you're still not feeling.
Still not feeling it, right? And so meanwhile, in the background, my health is really starting to go down the tubes. I had a lot of digestive problems. Basically anything I ate, I just felt bad. I had stomach aches. I won't go into all the details of the digestive problems, but essentially I just couldn't function to the point where I became really scared of eating. Anything I ate, even if it was as healthy as a carrot, like I couldn't seem to digest the food I was eating. And meanwhile, the rest of my health was really starting to crash. Like I wasn't able, something stressful that happened to you on the day-to-day at work, for example, I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't. Like I had no stress resilience. I was quickly losing weight. I was probably like 30 pounds less than I am now.
Wow.
Just barely above 100 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. And as a scientist, I wanted to figure it out. I spent all my time on Google. I became Dr.
WebMD.
WebMD, Dr. Google.
The thing they tell you never to go look at.
Right? And this is like 5 years ago before, you know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's what I'm doing, all this research. And I self-medicated on all these supplements, trying to figure it out, and tried to see doctors, but either they couldn't help me or said, you know, you have IBS or you have irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You have this random, you could have an autoimmune disease, but we don't know. There was just no answers. And meanwhile, I started to take a look at like what I was eating. And I realized that gluten, for one, was really making me sick. So anytime I had gluten, and then I noticed dairy, like, this doesn't seem to be working for me. And like slowly, I started removing more and more foods and started to feel better. But it turns out my health, even after removing all those foods, went down further, way down to the point, like I said, I couldn't even work at my job. I was 3 years into my new job. This is around 2013. So I'm already like 3 years into this health journey and I couldn't work. I couldn't go to work. I had trouble getting out of bed. I had chronic fatigue. Like I said, I could not handle stress. Like all someone had to do was like blow like at me, you know, and I'd fall over. Like I just couldn't handle
that. Let's dive into that a little
bit,
because I think there's a lot of people who can relate to the feeling that you're talking about feeling depleted, feeling stressed, feeling just avoiding work to some degree just because they don't want to face all the things that are going to have to go on with the day. So can you dive into how maybe an example of like when you just felt it happen like that, you know, when you say somebody just blew and it just all seemed to come crumbling down?
Yeah, I would just fall apart. Even if it was like as little as an experience, like people kind of in not like a disagreement at work, but just people kind of having differing opinions. I could just feel my body's stress response just go through the roof. And the thing with work, what was really challenging is it ends up being very cyclical, right? Like I'd wake up and I'd realize like, I don't love my job. And then this, what I mentioned at the beginning, being a perfectionist, being type A, wanting everything to be perfect. Like, how could you have done this to yourself, Shannon? Like you spent all these years in school, you got your PhD, you're doing it, you're like moving up, like you're doing great. Like, how can you feel this way about yourself? Like, go to work, you know, and this negative.
This is what you worked for.
Right. This is what I worked for. Like, I should be happy right now. And so then I didn't really want to go to work because I felt bad, like physically, my health, I just did not feel good. And then also spiritually, to some extent, I just knew that I wasn't aligned with what I was meant to do in life.
Right.
And so then I would like go to work and just feel stressed, like putting all this energy into a career that I just felt like I could do and I felt like I was good at. And then, so then that like caused my biology to further like
stress itself out even more.
Yeah. So then it's like, when I'm at home, I'm super stressed about my health and I can't digest. And why do I have these headaches? And why does my body hurt? My neck hurt? And oh my gosh, I'm 32 years old. Like, how can this be happening?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd go to work and I'd just sit there and be like, I have no energy to even give myself to what I'm doing, but I have to perform. Again, it's that self-critic, that type A, like I have to be lovable. I have to make someone like think that I'm doing a good job. So I would continuously pour myself into my work, even in the background. I just wasn't in it.
Right.
Emotionally.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that was really hard. And during that time, I was, like I said, spending all my time trying to figure out what was wrong with me, you know, and like doctors weren't really like helping me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. Like you're looking for answers and you're doing your self-study, you're doing studies to try and find the answers from the right resources and it's still not getting the answer. So how did you, when you started deciding to do your own discovery and figuring out that it was gluten and lactose products, how did you realize that that was the solution that was going to, or you know, how did you figure out that that was the right path that you were going to go down?
Yeah, no. So that ended up, the food, the nutrition part was step one.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I really had to start doing was focus on what I was putting into my body. And later, it ended up being like, what thoughts am I putting into my body? Mm. Like, how am I nourishing my spirit? We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really had to start paying attention to what my body's signals were. And up until my health crash, I did not do that ever. Hmm. Never. I was always about pushing myself to the very edge of what I could do and then push myself more. Because
right.
I was always seeking to be the best. And so, yeah, nutrition was the first start, but it still took time, right? I had cut out all the possible foods that I could.
I mean, lost like, 30 pounds.
Right? And it literally got to the point, and I'm not exaggerating, that all I was eating was mashed carrots.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? That's all my body could handle. And this is the amount of stress I'm putting myself under day in and day out. And so it ended up being more about food. Like later on, my journey ended up kind of navigating away from food and towards a more spiritual direction. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Like, what other things in my life have caused me to get to this place other than maybe having a food intolerance or maybe having contracted a parasite in Mexico or something like that? Like, it was way more than that. And that's what I realized in 2012, like towards the end of the year, was this was actually a spiritual disease for me.
Hmm. What an interesting way to put it, because I think so many of us, when we feel pain in our bodies, whether it's lethargy and energy wise, or whether it's a physical sharpening pain, you know, whatever, you know, things come out of which end,
right?
Whatever it might be, I think people always think, okay, I got to go see a doctor, or what's not working? It's got to be my stomach's not processing this, or I'm not chewing things the right way. Whatever it is, people think that there's an answer there. And so considering it to be a spiritual journey is a really interesting thing. And I think so relevant, because really our mind makes such a big difference on our body.
Yes.
So then how were you able to measure your transformation, since it is so much of a mental thing, right? On top of there was a food component, but how are you able to measure the transformation that you went on?
Yeah, great question. So I ended up measuring my transformation by asking myself really deep questions that I hadn't been willing to look at in the past. And so these questions included, am I really doing what I love? You know, do I have a career that makes my heart sing? You know, am I in relationships where I feel supported? You know, it ends up being like away from it, very much away from food. And I really started to dive deep into these questions. And around that time, I was getting very big into yoga. I had done a couple of yoga teacher trainings, and those processes kind of help you connect, really connect your mind and your body, your spirit.
Yeah.
And so I was, of course, asking myself these questions, journaling a lot, spending a lot of time writing. And what I came to was that I was not living in alignment with who I am. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great, but where do I go now? Where do I go next? And, you know, then I'm realizing these answers, but it wasn't until a couple of years later that I really started to make huge changes. So where I see my transformation actually happening, yes, food, my relationship with food has changed dramatically. Like, seeing it as that I need it to function, I need it to nourish myself so I can have that energy to live.
Yeah.
But really the transformation, what I measured, is the change in my mindset.
Hmm.
Really, that, because like I said at the beginning, or the reason why I started out the beginning by saying, like, type A, perfectionist, wanting to be the best, wanting everyone to, you know, love me and make everyone proud of me.
Right.
Was that like inner child, that little girl inside that wanted to be seen?
Yeah.
And my transformation happened when I realized that I had to be the one to nurture that little girl. Right?
Yeah.
I had to be the one to say, like, you're okay. Like, you don't have to have this career where you're trying to please other people, your boss, your client, or whoever.
Yeah.
Like, I had to be that person to please myself.
Yeah. And I think that brings up such a good point. And I talk about it all the time with our aligned community about self-care, right? And there's, I think, three components, which is the fueling, activating, and replenishing your body to have that self-care. And the reason that I'm such a big proponent of it is because when we have that, we're able to give more to our colleagues or our families or things like that. And so making that mental shift, was it something that just you think took a lot of just prodding, you know, trying and trying and trying. Like, what do you think was there ever an aha moment where it clicked over?
There was many aha moments. Like I said,
all the many ones,
you know,
along
I'm
the way.
Diving deep into these questions and seeing these answers right in front of my face that I had been kind of living out of alignment, and I didn't know who I was, right? I didn't know who I was. Like, what career would make me happy?
Yeah.
And I knew in my heart it was always teaching, being an educator,
right?
Essentially, but I was really starting to connect with what I never had asked myself, what would make me happy? What brings me joy in life?
Mm-hmm.
And to really start going after that rather than doing something because I felt like it would make someone else happy,
right,
or proud.
Yeah.
So it ended up taking a lot of time. Like I said, like at that time when I'm having this aha, like I have to change my life, like how I'm living my life and who I'm spending my time with and what kind of energy I bring in and all this, right? That's, there was 2 whole years before I really feel like I pushed the needle.
Yeah.
And that involved, you know, getting out of a long-term relationship that wasn't serving me.
Yeah.
I ended up 6 months later moving back to California because I was just like, this is my home, and I always knew that. And
even though it's raining today.
Even though it's raining today and crazy weather here in San Diego. And then starting to really, my biggest fear was taking that step forward to doing something, being in service to other people in a career that was other, different than what I had trained in,
yeah,
for like 20 years.
Right. I think that's so funny because
yeah.
I always, there's a construct in the world that, you know, you're 18, you got to figure out
yeah.
your passion. What are you passionate
right.
about at 16, 17, 18 when you're applying for college? And that is also, you should be going to college is another construct, right?
Right.
So all
Absolutely.
These things that you feel like you have to be doing.
Absolutely.
And then from there, you're supposed to just go in and make that the rest of your life. And it's funny, almost every single person who I've spoken to and I know personally, what they studied isn't almost what they did.
Right.
And so that journey is definitely a frustrating and
yeah.
yet rewarding one to find
yeah.
what really makes you thrive
yeah.
and have that self-care and be able to give back.
Definitely.
So with that, as you now have become into your transformational nutrition coaching,
mm-hmm.
just tell us a little bit more about what that is.
What that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially transformational nutrition coaching. Yes, I'm a nutrition coach. I talk a lot about food. I'm obsessed with food. I love food. So first and foremost, that's really important. What's different about transformational nutrition coaching other than, you know, regular coaching or maybe what a nutritionist does, just for contrast.
Yeah.
So say, for example, you go see a nutritionist, you describe certain symptoms that you have, and maybe there's some strategy or try this diet. So for example, if you can't digest certain fiber, maybe you go on this low fiber diet and try it out for a while.
Okay.
And with transformational nutrition coaching, you go way deeper,
mm-hmm.
right? And so talking about alignment,
mm-hmm.
and I know this is like a huge feature of what you are about, and
yes.
this is also what I'm about, is how do you weave in holistically this idea that your body can never be separated from your mind, which can't be separated from your spirit. So there's a really holistic view in looking at your mindset. And that's something then my coaching where it ends up being less about the food and more about mindset and our thoughts around food and thoughts around our diet and what belief systems do we have in our life. For everything, not
right.
just food, but how we approach our relationships, our job, our responsibilities, and really looking at that mindset piece, because that's everything.
Yeah.
Your thoughts literally create your reality, as does your emotional landscape. And if you're able to make behavior change and how you're, you know, acting, behaving in the world, then you have this capacity to make lasting change. And so transformational nutrition coaching is big on digging deep to peeling back the layers to understand the root cause of why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. So for just as an example, for me, what I see in all my digestive problems were back in the past was that I had a complete inability to digest my life experience at that time. It was actually
Wow.
symbolic of what I was experiencing spiritually and emotionally.
Right. Yeah.
So I couldn't digest food literally, but I wasn't able to digest the fact that I hated my career. Like it wasn't for me. Not that I think that the work isn't valuable because they absolutely do, but it wasn't for me.
Right.
You know, I couldn't digest that this imbalance of like, this is what I should be doing, trying to force myself into it versus what I feel is right for me. Couldn't digest that. same thing, like with life purpose. What am I here for? I wasn't able to digest this fear that like I may have to start completely over, do something different.
Big fear that I think a lot of people face.
Totally. Yeah. Right. It's like, oh, in taking massive action in the face of that fear. It's like, how am I going to do that? No idea. Right. And so that's what transformational nutrition coach, that's just an example to really dig deep. What are the underlying belief systems that you have about your life and about your world around you, what you think about yourself? And for me, it's asking a lot of questions. So with my clients, my biggest priority is to make sure that they're completely 100% heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us don't have people in our life where we feel like we can be completely honest and feel like we're heard.
Yeah.
Right? How many conversations do you have where you're trying to explain yourself and like someone's coming back in and trying to interrupt with what they think?
Right. With their advice that they have for you, they mean well, but I know. I would say just listen to me for a second.
Right. Exactly. And that's something that I care a lot about is creating that space. Because with coaching, a lot of times we think with coaches, they're going to give us a strategy of what to do next. And that can work. But with transformational nutrition coaching and transformational coaching in general, is that the coach asks questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Tell me more. Dig deeper. You know, tell me why you feel that way. Why do you think you feel this way? What can you do to make this change? And essentially, it takes the power and puts it in the client's hands, the person who wants to create change,
right.
And essentially they're coming up with their own solutions. And that's the most powerful, because if I think, oh my gosh, I came up with a solution, that's awesome.
I'm going to implement it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you were my coach and you told me just do this, this, and this, and this, and I'm kind of like being a little sassy and stubborn, like, well, why do I want to do that? Right?
Right.
You know? And so there's much greater chance for that transformation, that change to happen,
mm-hmm.
because you're using your own internal wisdom.
Right.
To allow yourself to make those decisions. And I am sitting here holding space, asking questions so that you come up with your own strategy. And then of course, like I will offer my experience or my strategies, what works for me, but especially with diet, I know we were going to talk about diet dogma today. The diet that works for me, what I eat on a daily basis, may not work for someone else who has the same exact symptoms.
Right. I think you and I know, for those of you who don't know, both Shannon and I were bar 3 instructors, which she still is. But what we always talk about just in movement and exercise is always that everybody has their own thing that they will resonate with. And interestingly enough, there was just an article published that you can have fitness, can't remember the word, but basically where an exercise just doesn't work. You don't see results from it, and it could work wonderfully for somebody else. And so there's a little bit of that trial and error in figuring out exactly how to make it work for your body. And that takes commitment. And also it takes keen self-awareness and observation. So I think what you're talking about with the transformational nutrition coaching is really deepening that understanding of self-awareness and getting into being able to make those changes because you have that observation tactic of yourself.
Definitely.
So many times you're observing the world around us, but it's also really important to observe ourselves.
Exactly. Like you hit it right on the head. So building that self-awareness is critical, right? Because you have so much input coming to you on a daily basis, what everyone thinks of you, what society thinks of you, what you think everyone, you know, all of that.
Right.
But what do you think of you? Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And really start to feel into that. And that's something also in my coaching that I find to be incredibly important is building mindfulness, building self-awareness.
Yeah.
And where do we catch ourselves in our own negative thought patterns, our own kind of continuous loops where we end up feeling stuck or unable to make a change?
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we blame external circumstances when really it's an inside job? You know, how are we creating our own reality, but then later blaming it on external things? So, yeah, it's so critical. Self-awareness piece is huge.
I think a good little test that I found to realize if working on self-awareness is something that, I mean, obviously we can all be improving on it all the time, I think, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But something that I once had a task to do was, it was like, describe yourself in 5 words or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got about 2. And I was like,
I have to call my mom and be like, Mom, how would you describe me? And, you know, call my friend and how would you describe me? And if you can't confidently describe yourself and succinctly in five words, of course, there's so many layers, but you should be able to rattle off some things that you're proud of that are you, that are genuinely, uniquely you. And so I think if a quick tip for everybody, I guess, would just be to have that moment to yourself. And if you're learning and yearning for more, to be able to fill those blanks by yourself more rapidly than, you know, Shannon obviously has wonderful tips and strategies to help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we just take a pause now, if anybody has any questions on the line, if you are listening in either via Facebook Live, feel free to type your comments in and we'll try and get to those questions. And if you are on the air or if you're on Facebook Live and want to call in because we love callers, then feel free to call in. The number is 646-716-7979. So we would love to hear from you. And as we keep going now, we talked about a little bit, you mentioned the diet dogma. So let's get your opinion on the diet dogma and what all of that means.
Right. Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Because there's articles all over the internet of how you should eat, right? You're being told one day you should be paleo, the next day you should be vegan, the next day you should be a breatharian. It's like, you just don't know, you know, and it's interesting because I had a dialogue on Facebook last night. An article came out about the paleo diet that I saw to be a little bit of misinformation. And right, if you read that one article, you may think to yourself, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't try this because it could make me sick. You know, and that's for everything, right? And so it requires you to be very studious in terms of like reading, you know, what is a balanced view of nutrition information out there?
Yeah.
And a lot of people who claim to be experts about nutrition will put diatribes about this or that diet or say, this is the diet that cures cancer or this is the diet that you should have.
Yep.
And what all of these articles forget is that each of us, you and me and Jessica and everyone, we're all unique bio-individuals. So we all have unique genetics, unique biochemistry. We have different emotions, we have different stress levels, we have different environmental exposure in terms of toxins, etc. And so with that in mind, it goes back to building this self-awareness, right? So for me personally, the paleo diet makes the most sense. I love meat, I love vegetables, I eat mostly vegetables, a little bit of meat, no grains, some fruit. It makes me feel wonderful. But it doesn't mean to say that that's your perfect diet, right? And so that's where, for me, I really take a step back, and rather than prescribing a diet to my clients, we explore from a symptomatic level, but also, you know, how does eating this food make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're eating something and you're feeling lethargic and bloated, and you notice that after you eat suddenly you're really cranky.
Yeah.
Most likely one of those foods that you just consumed doesn't respond really well. It doesn't react really well with your body. And it's worth taking some time, a break from that, and seeing, is my mood back up? Like, am I not so snappy? How do I feel? And there's a lot of, you know, reboot out there, like Whole30 diet. I'm sure you've heard of it. 30 days, you cut out all these things, see how you feel, begin to add things back afterwards. And that's huge. I think that's a great thing to do seasonally, to kind of take things out of your diet, see how you feel. And as you add them back in, you know, this could be gluten, this could be dairy. For some people, don't tolerate fruit. Who would have thunk? It's super healthy, but for some people, they don't tolerate it.
Hmm.
Others don't tolerate meat very well.
Right.
So it's really becoming in tuned with what makes you feel good. And if you feel great, truly, you know, eating gluten and you can digest it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not going to say you shouldn't have it. Honestly, like, I can't have it.
Right.
But if you can and you can tolerate it, then I think that's great. And so that's where I take a kind of a bigger picture approach, is that it's not the food we should demonize. It's a lot of the time it's our thoughts about it. So it goes back to this mindset that if we demonize, if dairy is demonized, and I keep telling myself like, oh, I'm going to react when I eat it, chances are you're going to have a reaction, right?
Yeah.
The mindset piece is so huge. So that's where I would say, like, do your research. You know,
test things out. And for me, that's easy because I'm a scientist, so I love running experiments on myself. Maybe not everyone is that way. But I've tried out so many things. I've tried out so many diets, right? I've tried out paleo. I've tried being vegan. I've tried being vegetarian. I've tried all these different things. And I just noticed, like, you know what? I feel tired. This doesn't feel good. So I'm going to change it up. And then I add something in. Oh, no, this doesn't work. And so it's just being willing to play. And I know one of the things you had mentioned to me before is maybe wanting to talk about why diets fail.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, right? We start something new being told, oh, well, this diet is going to cure me of all of my woes.
This is the new diet.
It's the new diet,
the fad
right?
diet.
The fad diet. This is what I should do. And you personally try it and you don't feel good.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. And there are some things, for example, I will just say flat out, if you have been used to eating gluten and sugar and dairy and you suddenly cut it all out and you don't feel good, there's a reason for that. Your body is essentially detoxifying from all of that sugar and gluten and dairy. So there is a time period where you could start
like
something
and
not feel great.
Right.
And some people will say, oh, well, I can't do that. I can't do this. And, you know, that's really important, is being willing to play almost
right.
Like see, eating is fun. It's just like anything, like life should be fun. Look at playing with your food, literally play with it, like play around with what you're eating and then become really self-aware of how it makes you feel. And then you'll find your own perfect diet.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they also don't know how to play in terms of when they're creating meals for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to just go and get something from the store that's
sure.
pre-made. You know,
sure.
that frozen section aisle at Trader Joe's is sometimes my absolute most favorite thing.
Right.
Because of convenience, but also because of thinking of how can I make sure the right thing is. I know you have a ton of recipes
yes,
on your website.
I
so
do.
I think it'd be a great time to share just your website and the recipes that people can find there.
Yes. You can feel free to come to my website. It's just my name, www.shannonwerner.com. There is a section, it's the recipes tab up top. You can feel free to check it out. I would say most of my recipes are friendly for people who have a lot of food intolerances. So all of my cooking is gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo. For some people who have autoimmune diseases, my recipes are very great for them as well, like allergen friendly. And yeah, I would say definitely in terms of like eating what makes you feel good. And I think the only thing that I'm very rigorous on is just eating whole unprocessed foods.
Right.
I think that's the thing that is really the baseline by which I go off of. So we're talking organic, non-GMO. If it's meat, you're having grass-fed, no hormones, et cetera. And then from there, like once you're working with the whole foods and not processed and maybe frozen or depending on what it is, or just the easy grab to have a snack and it's
right.
super easy, gives you that jolt of energy, but maybe doesn't make you feel so good. I kind of cut those out and start with the whole foods. And I think there's a big misunderstanding that once you start cooking, doing whole foods, that it's so hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten to this mindset of like, if I can't grab it and literally shovel it into my mouth before my next meeting,
yeah.
you know, then I can't do it, right? But there are so many ways to make eating a whole foods diet easy, where you can set yourself up for success.
And I know that a lot of, obviously I'm a follower of Shannon's blog and stuff, and I know a lot of the stuff that you do can prep it really easily.
Yes.
You can prep it on the weekend, you
oh
can
my gosh.
Prep it a couple of things, and, you know, then you can pack a lunch, you can use your Align bag for the
yes.
lower section, put all your lunch in the lower section, and,
totally.
And you're prepared for the day, and you're not having to grab that snack on the go. You're not having
right.
to just run into the gas station or whatever it is, or spend a fortune at Tender Greens for something that's
right.
probably really good for you, but, you know, maybe not so good for the budget.
Totally.
And so we can really add that in and prepare them that way.
Okay.
Perfect. We're getting some great cues from our producer, Michael, today. The next thing is when people are preparing those recipes, where can they get those whole foods besides maybe just whole food?
Totally. Great question. And whole foods, for some of you, may also know it as whole paycheck, which is totally true. Very expensive. And again, there's kind of a misconception that eating whole foods has to be expensive.
Right.
And that's actually vegetables themselves don't have to be that expensive. So one thing, for example, like I said, I focus on eating organic. However, if you follow the environmental working group, they have a list of 12 different fruits and vegetables. They call it, it's called the Dirty Dozen. You can go to their website and download their free guide, which is awesome to know these are the vegetables and fruits that you should buy organic. And then they have a separate list called the Clean 15. And this list of fruits and vegetables, like for example, avocado is a clean food. You don't have to buy organic. So when you buy avocados, you may save a couple bucks.
Ooh.
So that's really important to kind of get a sense. Now there's a lot of controversy on whether organic farming also uses some pesticides. There can still be some residues. And what I say is if you're really worried about pesticide residues, you can wash your fruits and vegetables in a water solution made with apple cider vinegar, and that can get a lot of the pesticide residues off. But in terms of stores that you can go to, you know, we think about, let's talk San Diego, in terms of, like, for example, Vaughn's or Sprouts, great price, great prices, right? And they have an organic section, definitely. The one thing that I love, which is very cost effective, is shopping at a farmer's market. Now, I know for those of you on the East Coast, there's probably not much farmer's market action going on right now.
Not right now,
but think in the summertime, right? The best way to eat is when you're eating locally. So if you're supporting a local farmer and getting that food really fresh, you can even build a relationship with these farmers and ask, you know, what pesticides do you use? Are you an organic farmer? Are you sustainable? What are your practices? And it's, you know, people think, oh, that's too hard to do. But literally, it's just asking a question. The farmer's market is not, you know, it isn't like a big to-do. I would say all the major grocery store chains have great Whole Foods. And my recommendation would be shop the perimeter rather than going into the middle aisles where there's all these tasty snack items like processed food. Just stay on the outside. Focus on the produce, lean meats if you're into meat. If you tolerate dairy, there's some great grass-fed, hormone-free, full-fat dairy that you can get, especially if it's from a local dairy. That's awesome. And yeah, it doesn't have to be as expensive as you think. And what I would argue is when you go for fast, super quick, like for example, you're starving and you end up stopping at a Starbucks like 5 days a week to get a snack and a latte and all of that, that adds up to be $1,000. There's so much money that we spend on convenience, getting it right away, rather than doing just a little bit of planning. I'm talking, you know, 15 minutes a week, meal planning, like what would I like to eat and how can I make that last over a couple meals?
Right, exactly.
You know, so like you could roast a whole chicken, use it for a meal, then have some meat left over for a soup and a salad, and it's like four or five meals right there. So, and that's a chicken's $13. You just used it for, you know, four meals.
Yeah. And the preparation that goes into it might, it's funny, we think it seems like a lot of work, like I have to chunk out a huge amount of time to prep this, but in actuality, it's maybe an hour of shopping, maybe 2 hours of cooking, so that's 3 hours. And then throughout the week, it's saved time, saved energy,
saved money.
Save money. There's so many things.
Right.
And so if you guys need your bags to carry all your lunches, you can head over to alignbags.com for that as well. So Shannon, in your experience with your clients, and I know a lot of people think I'm too busy to be working on my health right now, or I'll work on my health, but then something comes up. And so that takes the back seat first. So in your experience, why do you feel kind of fail at their wellness goals?
Great question. Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do, it's, you think about health as only after you experience health problems, right? You become keenly aware of how important your body is.
Yeah.
That you essentially need it for everything, right? Jim Rohn has a great quote, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. And it's so true, right? The minute you can't digest food, you realize like, wow, I'm really uncomfortable in my body 24/7. I have no energy to give to my job or my relationship. You know, and things really start to fall down the tubes. My mind now is a crazy town. I'm speaking from experience, right? It's like a craziness in there, like being fearful, like what's happening with my health? Do I actually have a way more worse disease than I think?
Yeah.
You know, you end up in this full body, mind, spirit space of just like freaking out.
Piling downward.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you look at the stats in the United States by the millions of people that experience chronic illness in their life, and the predictions of, you know, cancer being the big killer,
killer heart disease and autoimmune diseases coming right up the ranks in terms of, you know, chronic illness. And so the way I look at it is if you're always taking care of your body, you then have space to take care of your life, right? When you take care of, you know, your digestion, you're moving your body, you're releasing stress, you have that energy and that passion and that joy to live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
Right? Without that, and say, for example, here's an example. Say you're someone that you know you want to change your career, but you feel like you have some good energy, like you're taking care of yourself, you're having your green juice, eating your salad, whatever, not saying that's my prescription for what you should do. But you have this energy, and then you have the courage to make changes, more so than if you're feeling like, oh, I'm sapped of energy, I got nothing left to give. Chances are you won't be making changes or decisions that support the other areas of your life.
Right.
So that's why it's important, this, you know, mind-body connection. When they're all aligned, you are aligned, you're aligned with your purpose, your joy. And that's why I think taking care of your health now is so important.
So how do you work with your clients to achieve that? And I mean, I know you've kind of talked about different parts of it, but, you know, what's a typical thing that you kind of lead them through to get those answers?
Yeah. So it's very individual, of course. So everyone who comes to me has a different story, a different background, different goals. But in coaching, of course, the most important thing, as I said at the beginning, is having that person be heard. You know, what is it that's going on? What are your goals? You know, a lot of times we say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. But really, the goal when we go through transformational coaching, asking questions, getting to those deeper and deeper layers, actually the goal ends up being, I want to be seen, I want to be loved, and I want to be confident in who I am. Mm-hmm. I want to feel worthy.
Yes.
Right? It
yes.
has nothing to do with the 10 pounds. And so that's really... losing the weight may help you feel that confidence, but we get to the feelings that the client wants to feel, right? And this is so important with mindset. A lot of times we have this goal. My goal is to lose 10 pounds. We end up failing because we don't think, one, why? Why is this important? What's my bigger why?
Yeah.
You know, and how will reaching this goal make me feel? And if you're always chasing after the thing, and you don't have that thing, if you're chasing after losing that 10 pounds and you don't have those 10 pounds lost, your mindset is always in this place of lack of abundance, lack of having what you want. So it keeps you in this negative, low frequency state.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, if you focus, actually losing weight will give me the feeling of loving myself more, of being more confident in every area of my life.
Yeah.
And you go after that feeling and start feeling it as if you already have it. It happens.
Isn't that funny how the universe works?
Yeah.
When you think that it's going to happen, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
And you don't hope and you don't wish and you don't say, I want to get there. You make it seem like you're already there. That's when it all starts coming together.
And admittedly, work needs to be done, right? You don't feel the feeling and suddenly 10 pounds melt off.
No. Wouldn't
that be wonderful, right? But that's critical.
Yeah.
And it's not about thinking about having the weight lost, because once you get there, if you haven't already worked on those emotions and that mindset about, oh, I love myself or I want that confidence, then you've lost 10 pounds but still have that negative mindset.
Right.
Right? So it's all about going for the feeling, the emotion behind it. And yeah, so that's something that we go over a lot. And then in terms of like figuring out roadblocks, I think mindset is everything. And that's really what we talk about a lot more rather than just the food.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening in today, I think there's probably plenty of you who can relate to that feeling that Shannon's talking about and those moments in time where you have those goals and they might not be happening yet. So, you know, if you're listening, call in and tell us a little bit about your story, and Shannon can give a couple pieces of advice for you. So it's 646-716-7979. So Shannon, tell me if you could give everyone just three tips. Hopefully we'll have some people call in. And in the meantime, just three tips that can help people really live a nourished life for their mind and body. What kind of three highlighted tips would you share?
Yeah, great. So I would say I'll do one tip each for mind, body, and spirit,
right?
Which that matches perfectly. So for the mind, one thing that's really transformed my life is what most people know as a gratitude practice. And I actually take it a step further and I'll kind of explain it. It's called appreciation, right? And you think about having gratitude. I have gratitude for an experience that happened. And every time we think about what we're grateful for, we feel our, you know, biochemistry change. We have those feel-good chemicals coursing through our body. And like if we're feeling kind of down, we can pull ourselves out of our rut.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to take it that one step further. So if you think of the word appreciate, it's a verb. And when you appreciate all that's in front of you, if you think about gratitude, most of the time you're thinking, I'm grateful this happened 2 hours ago, 2 years ago, whatever this experience was. When you appreciate, you're actively right now appreciating or feeling gratitude now for whatever's happening in your life.
Right.
And taking it to that next level, you can appreciate everything around you. Like I can appreciate that my Christmas tree is still up. Right. I mean, like I can appreciate what joy that brings me, even though the holidays are over, right? I can appreciate the fact that I'm here with you right now. And it's not something that I'll think about tonight and be like, oh, that was so great, right? And what I've noticed for me, when I'm in an active state of appreciation, I'm receptive to finding courage to make a change, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm in this frequency, I've elevated my frequency to be like, this is awesome, life is awesome. I can even actively appreciate challenges in my life,
yeah,
right? And knowing that they're just like awesome opportunities to learn,
yes,
and maybe make a different choice than what I would have in the past. So that's what I would say. Spend a little time each day appreciating what's in your life right now, even if it's something you think is negative. Like, what can you appreciate about it? How has it changed your outlook on life? So that's something that's really, really changed for me. For body, I would say move your body. I think that's my biggest tip. And that for fitness, obviously, you know, I'm a fitness instructor. There's no one workout, right? If you find that dancing in your kitchen with your kids gets your heart rate up and you're having a blast and laughing, that's your fitness regimen,
yeah,
right? But you don't have to do anything that doesn't feel good. So I would say find whatever movement modality that you like and rock it, right? For me personally, it's bar three. I love what bar classes do for my body. I love the music. I love the people. It works for me. And maybe for you, it's CrossFit. Maybe it's the CrossFit community. Maybe it's walking along the beach or down the street with your dog, you know, whatever it is. And just whatever movement you find, if it brings you immense joy, you're going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's
period.
Really, and I think for me, I just read a statistic recently that 80% of ER visits are related to a sedentary lifestyle,
yeah,
in some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about it, we sit all day long,
mm-hmm,
and just moving, no matter what it is, sometimes it's just cleaning the kitchen sink for 5 minutes and really scrubbing it, which is, you know, dual purpose,
oh,
got a clean thing and a little bit of a workout, but
yeah,
you're moving your body and you're able to kind of counteract some of those things that just start bringing you down.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, even if it's in the other myth I'd like to break is that you need to work out for an hour a day, right? Sometimes if all you have is 10 minutes to kind of move and shake and sweat and breathe and laugh, even laughing is like great, great medicine, you know, take it, you know, it doesn't have to be the all or nothing mentality.
Right.
And then we did body, we did mind, and then spirit. I'd spend a little bit of time, and, you know, journaling may not be your thing, but maybe it's going to the beach and daydreaming. Really start to ponder and daydream what brings you joy in life. And begin to ask yourself, is what I have right now what brings me joy? And the answer could be yes.
Right.
And it could be, oh gosh, I love painting so much and I haven't done this in 15 years and it used to bring me so much joy. And start to determine if some of these things that bring you joy are absent in your life. And carve out a little time to start bringing it back in, even if it's for 20 minutes a day, and watch how that changes your life. When you're in a state doing something that you love,
mm-hmm,
it will bring you back into alignment in terms of like, I feel peaceful, I feel energized, I feel excited and happy and joyful. So all of that energy can then be used in all other parts of your life.
Yeah.
You're more present in your relationship. You're feeling like ready to go at work and be your best, you know. And so
your performance is really elevated in,
yeah,
all aspects of your life.
In all ways.
Finding, honing that in.
Yeah.
And your health.
And then not to say that you quit your job and change your career and do some of the things I've done, like in the spirit of finding my joy, but it can be little, right? It doesn't mean leaving your career and starting over. It could be what's a hobby that you love that you just bring back into your life, and it just like, ah, just makes your heart feel so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where can people get more of these tips from you? You know, stay updated as you continue to
Awesome. So I have a monthly newsletter called The Nourished Life. You can sign up for that on www.shannonwerner.com/newsletter. And also I have a Facebook group called The Nourished Life. And so it's a group that where I like to share health and wellness tips, hop on Facebook Live once in a while. I like to do 7-day challenges. We just had one in December called the Beat the Holidays Challenge. Really, it was a way to find, you know, stress relief and resilience tips and how you can stay healthy and happy during the holidays. And I can tell you that was like one of the best weeks of my life, having the challenge group together. So we do that quite, you know, I'll be doing those challenges throughout the year. So those two places right now, but also you can feel free to friend me on Facebook, Shannon Werner. I'm friends with Jessica. You can find me that way. And I, of course, post a lot of health and wellness tips on my personal page as well.
Awesome. And it looks like we have a question that came in on Facebook Live. So Mindy has a question. She says, I've been dairy-free, gluten-free, egg-free, and alcohol-free for a while now, but I'm curious, do you handle the food FOMO of seeing your friends or loved ones who eat whatever they want? And the question cut off, so if there's more, feel free to add to it, Mindy, but you can start with that.
Yeah, thank you for your question, Mindy. Yeah. Food FOMO. Yeah, I've been there.
it's
essentially a fear of missing out. Yeah, you're really fearing, especially when you have a lot of food intolerances. I hear you, girl. Like, I'm free on a lot of things. I don't eat a lot of different foods. And a lot of it for me changed with my mindset changing. And the question I began to ask myself is, if I eat these foods or if I drink alcohol, am I really having an experience that makes me feel good? And the answers for those are going to be different for everyone. And for me, alcohol makes me feel pretty bad, unfortunately. I love wine, but it doesn't love me. And I had to ask myself, like, is it worth it for me? And can I allow other people to have their experience and have fun? And can I allow myself to have fun without those things? And that was hard, right? For a while, I thought, no, I can't do that. But I kind of dug a little bit deeper, right? Coaching myself a little bit. Like, do I want to do these things? Do I want to drink or have gluten or have these things because I'm fitting in? Because other people, you know, will accept me more? Because believe me, I've had so many people like sit with me at a table and just like, just eat that cupcake. It'll make you feel better. Like, actually, it won't. You know, and I had to ask myself those hard questions, like, if I eat this or drink this and know that I'm going to suffer for like the next 48 hours, is it worth it? Or can I make choices for myself that make me feel so good? I have energy, like, you know, I'm very sassy, you know, and I like to be a comedian and make a lot of jokes. Can I not be who I am without those things?
Right.
And once I ask myself, I'm like, I totally can, right? When I teach my bar 3 classes, like, you know, I tell lots of jokes. I'm like kind of all over. People are like, what are you on, right? And I don't drink coffee. Like, I don't have any of this stuff, you know? And what I realized is the more I became myself and more accepted myself for who I am and the decisions I'm making, because I want to love my body. I want to love my life as it is right now, as imperfect as it is, because I can't have pizza. You know, I became okay with it.
And then she asked, do you have a mantra or a practice for this?
Yeah, a lot of my practice is around self-love and being in acceptance of how and who I am right now, as I just mentioned, of who I am right now in this moment, even if the experience that I want to have is different than what I expected my life would be.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my personal mantra is, Shannon, I love you. You are worthy. The decisions you are making are right for you right now. And trust that your body will continue to heal, will continue to become more in alignment so that in the future you can have a full spectrum of experience and enjoyment of the world around you.
Yeah.
And it's just like being okay, you know, because my feeling is that it's the fear of what other people think of us, that we're not participating to that same extent.
Right.
And rather just owning it, be like, this is who I am, and I love myself for it.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to how we even started this conversation all today, is that self-awareness and knowing that if you give that self-care to yourself, if you give the self-love, whatever it is, if you're taking care of yourself first, you're actually going to not, there's no FOMO to be had. You're going to be the best version of yourself for your friends, whether you're out at a restaurant, whether you're at somebody's house, you're going to be so much more of who you are and who they love about you. If you've taken care of yourself and you're not conking out at 12 o'clock or 10 PM or whatever, because you're so exhausted, you'll be able to give so much more. So we have just about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
If anybody has any questions, feel free to call in or Facebook in. Again, that number one last time is 646-716-7979. And if you had one, well, I guess there's no such thing as one favorite snack, right? But I know that around 2 p.m., sometimes 3 p.m., depending on the day, that's when my energy really starts to dip in the day. And I either want to go take a nap, which is not always possible, as in never.
right?
Or I'll reach for the chocolate bar. I'll reach for that coffee that then I know is going to keep me up late at night. And I'm speaking a bit figuratively because I know these things don't do well for my body. But I know there's tons of people out there who feel this way. So if you had a snack at 2 o'clock, a couple of options. What's one of your favorite go-tos to get that energy back up but not throw you off for your whole day?
So what's really interesting is that most days lunch happens at 2 o'clock because I work until about 2. So I would say my snacking, although my partner would say I do snack, I would say my favorite snack is actually plantain chips. They're savory and they're delicious and they, you know, don't have the bad vegetable oils, and I love crunchy things. So yeah, I definitely have my weaknesses.
Wait, do you make
and
them?
You can, absolutely. So I love plantains in all forms. If you stir fry them, I love them dehydrated. You can dehydrate them, but Trader Joe's actually has some really good ones.
There
and those bags disappear quite quickly. but what I would say is, I mean, my favorite snacks, I love smoothies, and I don't do very high fruit smoothies. I'm big into the green smoothies and fat bomb smoothies. So I put a lot of like full fat coconut milk and hemp seeds and, you know, lots of good healthy fats. And I find that I can live off those and exercise for like 4 to 5 hours.
Wow. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Because my body has been adapted to consuming a lot of fat. Yeah.
So I think for people to find out some snacks that really work for their body, feel free to contact Shannon. And I know that she's helped me with stuff in the past. So contact her and get insights into what's going to give you the energy you need, which will give you the confidence you need to be your very best self and live your truly aligned life. So as we kind of start signing off here, Shannon, what is one quote that you'd like to leave the audience with, favorite quote, and then your website once again so that they can find you?
Okay, cool. Let's hope I don't botch it. It's actually by Georgia O'Keeffe, so hopefully maybe I'll be paraphrasing it because I'm not sure I remember exactly, but I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, but that never stopped me from doing what I wanted to do, doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I feel that that's been kind of the quote that's been my life story of just going for it. Like, you know, I'm going to go get a PhD. I'm going to do this, you know, and then it's like, I'm going to do that and then change my whole career. Like, go. You know, or move back to California, even though it's kind of hard to do that. Just really going for it in the face of fear, taking massive action and just following my passion and my joy.
I love it. My word of the year this year is fearless. So that's a great quote for me. all righty. Your website one more time.
Yes. It's www.shannonwerner.com.
Perfect. And if you guys want to hear the replay of this or share it with your friends and family who you think will really enjoy this, we will have the replay up on fire.com and also on the Coach on Fire network. And I'm sure I'll share it with Shannon to share with you guys as well. But head over to alignbags.com to hear the replay, share it with your friends. And thank you so much for joining us today. We can't wait to see you next time on the Balanced Boss Radio.
Yeah. You guys later.
I can do anything.
Oh my gosh, I'm like-
I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Woohoo! We did it.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, that was really fun.
And you're done.